It's 1212 at KUOW Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds. The average class size in Washington State schools is bigger than in almost every other state. The State Teachers Union put Initiative 1351 on the ballot to change that. It's going to be on your ballot when you get it this week for the November election. The initiative would lower class size from kindergarten through high school, and it would do that by creating 7,400 new classroom teacher jobs. Tomorrow on The Record, we'll hear what Governor Jay Inslee has to say about this initiative. But what about people outside of Olympia? What do they think? KUOW's Matthew Strybe went to Bellevue Square Mall and Northgate Mall and asked people if they're going to vote to reduce class sizes.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, yeah, I would.
I definitely would, yes. Well, I'm a tennis pro, and I teach 10 and under kids. And if you have classes that are too big, there's no learning involved. You know, you have to have control over your room first to be able to teach.
We are only hurting ourselves by forcing our children into these unusually large class sizes. If we got our young students off to a good start with good class sizes, they would much more likely excel in school and become better students and become the engineers and tech gurus we need.
I think that reducing class size can go a long way to helping students feel like they're better served, which can help students perform better.
Being part of the public school system myself back in the 90s, I just saw it grow larger and larger each year, and I myself got left behind on several areas of study, you know, so. And I was just thinking just today, I was like, you know, my teachers knew I was pretty much failing those classes. It would have been nice if they had pulled me aside and been like, maybe you need some tutoring, but no, they didn't really do anything like that. I think they're swamped.
And that's the kind of enthusiasm that shows why a poll released on Tuesday showed that 66% of likely voters plan to vote for the class size initiative. 24% are opposed, including Mary Laughlin, who called KUOW and said she's not going to vote for the initiative.
I think that we need to give the legislature a chance, and I know it's another chance, yet another, but we need to give them a chance to fulfill the goals that they set themselves in the McCleary decision.
So a clear question here, do smaller class sizes lead to better education? Mississippi has smaller class sizes than here, but their education system ranks lower than Washington State's. Dan Schanzenbach is an associate professor of human development and social policy at Northwestern University in Chicago, and she has examined the various scientific studies on the issue of class size. She says the best was called Project STAR. That stands for Student-Teacher Achievement Ratio. It took place in Tennessee in the 1980s.
What's really important here is that it was a randomized controlled experiment. That's the gold standard of social science research. It allows us to tease out what's the causal impact of being in a small class. So children were in small classes from kindergarten through third grade. And during that time, they scored higher on their standardized tests and had a variety of other positive outcomes. What's really been newsworthy, though, is that after the small class size was over in fourth grade, we were able to continue to follow those children subsequently down the road and see, did these benefits that they gained from being in a small class stick with them? And we found that indeed they did. They were more likely to graduate from high school, more likely to graduate from college, and they did better on a battery of long-term measures such as their earnings and whether they're saving for retirement and whether they're married in adulthood, things like that. So what we found was kids do better in school when they're in the small classes, and those gains that they received stick with them over the long period.
You mentioned this Tennessee study was a very good study, and you've looked at other ones and kind of dismissed them. Do you think the research is weak in other areas?
So what's important is that a study in Tennessee, the randomized controlled experiment, is really the gold standard of social science evidence. We know that because children were randomly assigned to small classes or regular classes, and because teachers were also randomly assigned, we can say with great confidence that the differences that emerged were because of the small class sizes and weren't because of, say, systematic differences between the people who, you know, live in one district versus another or live in one state versus another or things like that. There are several high-quality studies that are not based on real randomized controlled experiments, but take other approaches that mimic a randomized controlled experiments. And my read is that most of the studies that involve high-quality research designs find evidence that's quite consistent with what we found in Project STAR. So there's evidence out of Wisconsin. There's evidence from Israel. A couple of other European countries have had high-quality studies that find almost the exact same outcomes.
Would you say there's a consensus among academics that small class sizes are more effective?
Well, you can never get a consensus among academics, I hate to tell you, but most economists, especially I'm an economist, believe the results from Project STAR, which was this randomized controlled experiment that showed that, you know, kids do better in the long run and in the short run if they're in small classes. Now, I think what academics disagree about is how big are the impacts and do the benefits outweigh the costs or not?
Well, let's talk about both of those things. How big are the impacts? How is it measured?
Well, our most straightforward thing to measure is test score achievement gains. And what we see there is about 0.2 of a standard deviation improvement. That's about 5 percentile rank points on
an annual. Is that significant?
It's statistically significant for sure, and it's economically meaningful also. That translates into higher earnings down the road and so on. It would close about a third of the black-white test score gap. The impacts were larger on low-income students and on African-American students as well.
I'm talking to Diane Schanzenbach, chair of the program on Child, Adolescent, and Family Studies at Northwestern University's Institute for Policy Research, because she's done some research on the impact of smaller class sizes on education. And from a randomized study in Tennessee in the 80s, a really well-done study, she's encouraged that putting money into smaller class sizes really does improve education. So and on this measure, it looks like it works. But as you mentioned, there's a cost-benefit question here. What if you spent the money on something else? For example, what if you spent the money on incentives for better teachers, gave them higher pay? Has there been any kind of comparison to figure out whether this is the most cost-effective way to improve education?
That's right. I mean, you really have to think about what's the next best use of the resources that this is going to cost. And whereas we can see that reducing class size does pass a cost-benefit analysis, the right way to think about it as a policymaker is, well, what's the next best use of these resources? There is relatively little evidence on the impact. To my eye, there's relatively little evidence of the impact of teacher incentive programs. I think that literature is just beginning to develop. And I would say, you know, it would be very difficult to compare apples to apples in terms of which gives you a better bang for the buck.
So you've got a solid idea that reducing class size works, but there's a question about whether that's the most cost-effective way to improve education. There are some other promising areas to put money in, but they haven't really been proven. Is there any other way of spending money in the classroom that has kind of passed this test of being, you're fairly certain that it really will improve educational outcomes besides small classrooms?
Sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of developing evidence across a variety of areas that suggests that, you know, more money does help student achievement across a variety of areas, but there's just a lot of uncertainty around this. Now, one thing that I would say has really come to the fore in recent years, but has good evidence behind it, is expanding access to preschool programs for children overall, but especially for low-income children.
There's a limited pool of money, and I wonder what your advice would be to Washington State voters who are considering this initiative, which is very expensive. When it comes to hiring more teachers to reduce classroom sizes and other kind of necessary reforms, where should voters rank class size when it comes to priorities? How should they evaluate this?
Well, I think that, like I said before, we know that class size reduction, especially in the early grades, passes a cost-benefit analysis. But then I think the question that's facing voters on Initiative 1351 is really, you know, do we want to tie the legislature's hands here and force them to, meet these goals every single year? Do we think this is the right next way to spend the very next dollar? Or are there other sort of lower-lying fruit interventions to be done out there? So I would say that the question is really, is this what we want to mandate for our schools, for the next 10 years or more?
Diane Schanzenbach is an associate professor of human development and social policy at Northwestern University. She analyzed the research on class size this year for the National Education Policy Center. And, of course, voters are going to cast a ballot on an initiative called 1351 that says it would reduce class size. She also alluded to the fact that pre-K education has shown real benefits for kids. We're going to hear about that coming up on The Record as part of our election coverage, which also will include a profile of Susan DelBene running for re-election to Congress in the 1st Congressional District. This is The Record on KUOW.